This past week, a campaign to get life-saving vaccines to children in poor countries received a $1 billion infusion of cash from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Commentator Ruth Geyer reflects on vaccines and the man who discovered them.
France, 1803. Josephine whispers two words into Napoleon's cocked ear. This rouses the emperor. He quickly okays the petition before him, requesting release of certain detained Englishmen, even though France and England are again at war. What Josephine said was, "Edward Jenner." And what Napoleon said was, "We can refuse nothing to that name." Jenner was not an authorized international negotiator. Nor, by the way, was Napoleon speaking English with a fake French accent, although those were his exact words. Jenner was the English country doctor who in 1796 developed the world's first effective vaccine. He freely shared his methods, and Napoleon's people were among the millions of beneficiaries worldwide who now were spared from the painful, disfiguring, and often deadly scourge, smallpox. Today, Jenner's prevention strategy seems intuitively obvious, but at the time, vaccination was inspired, revolutionary. Jenner had observed that countrywomen did not develop smallpox if they already had cowpox, a disease they acquired while milking cows. So he lanced the sores on the milkmaid's hands, pulverized and dissolved the crud in the crusty lesions, and injected the material into people who were healthy. The cowpox vaccine primed the vast number of cells and proteins that carry on constant surveillance inside the body. The immune system thus was poised to destroy cowpox viruses and anything resembling them. Later, when smallpox viruses entered the body, a second, rapid memory response, the so-called anamnestic response, kicked right in, killing the viruses before they could kill their hosts. Throughout the 19th century, researchers copied Jenner's formula, producing seven more vaccines to cholera, anthrax, rabies, tetanus, diphtheria, typhoid, and plague. Once the appropriate methods had been found, said one researcher, discoveries fell into our laps like ripe fruit. You might expect, then, that the 20th century's innovations in medicine, science, and technology would have yielded hundreds of new vaccines. But only 19 were developed, bringing the overall tally to fewer than 30. That's all the vaccines we have, yet hundreds of infectious organisms make us sick. This disparity reflects two realities. First, the viruses, bacteria, parasites, protozoa, prions, and other disease-causing agents are ingenious. They can sequester themselves inside our cells, camouflage themselves with our molecules, mutate to new forms, and in other ways skillfully elude immune surveillance. Second, policymakers and pharmaceutical companies lack the will to allocate time, money, and other resources for vaccine development. Vaccines are not sexy, they don't make us sexy, and they don't generate financial windfalls. Napoleon, despite his prodigious ego and will to power, understood that the health of the populace mattered. Oh, that the powerful today would understand this as well. Until they do, we humans remain at the mercy of tiny, infectious agents with gargantuan, destructive capabilities, traits that in psychology circles are labeled the Napoleonic complex.
Ruth Geyer is an immunologist who teaches courses in bioethics and infectious disease at Haverford College.